everybody, and welcome to the Frontside Podcast, episode 67. My name is Charles Lowell, a developer here at the Frontside and podcast host in training. And with me today also is Elric Ryan, a developer here at the Frontside. Hello, Elric.
Hey, what's going on, Charles?
And we have with us today someone who we love to have on the show. Everybody, you probably already know him. I know the first time I actually heard about him was when we had him on the podcast the first time. It's like, who the hell is this guy? But since then, he's become one of my favorite developers, just with all the things that he's done, from Router.js to more recently Ember Concurrency. We have Alex Matchner on the program.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Alex. And you know what? I pronounced your name right this time. First time out of the gate. Boom.
Nice. Which one did you go with? Matchner? I don't even know which one's correct anymore.
Was it about a year ago that you first introduced Ember Concurrency?
Yeah, I had a really embarrassing introduction of it at a Ember meetup in like January before it was really done. And I just kind of botched it and didn't really introduce why it was even solving problems. And then a month later, I had some time to refine it, you know, driven by the fuel of that embarrassment. So I guess around like February of last year, it's been pretty much in its like present state.
I remember when it came out, I must have seen the non-botched version because I remember hitting the ground running with it and being able to refactor all of this code. I definitely know that I got the honed version because you provided kind of in that initial blog post a whole host of examples as to like what are the symptoms, what are the cases where it solves, and then and before presenting the solution. And I think that was great because I didn't even realize that I had a lot of the pain. I didn't realize that at all. I didn't realize I had a problem. But then you were very, very elegantly packaged the problem with the solution, which is always great because otherwise it's just complaining. Maybe we should talk a little bit about, I don't think we've officially talked about Ember Concurrency, even though, you know, it's been out for quite a while. It's just the way that you model these concurrent processes using the stack is it's just pretty incredible. So do you want to just kind of briefly touch on like what the problem is and what kind of led you to this solution?
Sure. So it is a little bit difficult to sort of succinctly say what Ember Concurrency is because it kind of hits on like five different separate but kind of related but not really pain points. At its core, it's just like a task primitive, and it's definitely not the first library to ever introduce that to JavaScript. I think particularly when the generator function syntax was introduced into the spec, I think a few years back, Dave Herman, who's also known as, I think, Little Calculus, I think he works on the TC39, though I always get those groups a little confused in my head, but he introduced like a task.js library that let you use the generator function syntax and then lets you yield promises to sort of pause where you were in that task and then continue when it resolved. And it had some support for cancellation. It like played well with promises. And I kind of brought that to Ember in a way that fit really nicely with Ember more than it probably does or will with like other frameworks like React or Vue. And by bringing it to Ember, it basically, if you're implementing any feature that involves async, if it's a button that needs to show that it's been clicked while you're waiting for some response to come back from the server, instead of using promises, instead of using actions, you know, use an Ember concurrency task, and it just gives you, it makes it easier to express that operation you're trying to do, and it makes it really easy to drive your UI with state that comes from the state of that operation. Is the task still running? Is your form still submitting? Rather than having to manage a bunch of like mutable flags and properties on a component or state yourself and likely get it wrong.
Right. Because it's essentially you have, you know, an asynchronous process is kind of like a state machine. And it feels like before we were kind of managing that state machine by hand. But I think what's so brilliant about this task-oriented programming, I guess is maybe a way to put it, because I really think that some of these ideas are universal and not specific to Ember Concurrency. But it almost like it uses the stack, just your normal programming stack, to track where you are inside of a process, rather than what it felt like what we were doing before, which was, you know, managing this kind of state machine by hand, if that makes any sense.
It does make a lot of sense. A lot of people ask me how, if you're going to go into sort of async territory, why aren't you using something like RxJS? And RX's observables that are kind of popularized by the Netflix crowd who did a bunch of presentations on them. And it's super popular these days. But one of the things I really like about RxJS is, or at least one of the realizations I had, is that I think you're still building a state machine. You're just expressing it using different primitives. In RX, you're still building a state machine, but in RX, they make you think about it in terms of streams and events firing over time. And Ember concurrency is also, you're still building a kind of state machine, but you're using the generator function syntax and the call stack, like you mentioned, as another way of kind of expressing that state machine, but with a lot less code.
Right, right. I feel like so. You know, I was actually talking to someone about Ember concurrency just a few days ago, and they were saying, "Well, why?" Yeah, brought up the same thing. It's like, why not use observables? And at least from my perspective, maybe I didn't quite understand the question, because I feel like observables are kind of only one of the concerns that Ember concurrency addresses. And so I'm curious, when people talk about alternatives to Ember concurrency and put observables forward, maybe I don't understand it, because I usually think, well, you might be able to use observables to kind of register the currently executing task state, and every time it changes, you know, emit a new state that is then observed by your observable subscribers. But modeling the actual process using observables does seem weird to me, because with observables, you're really just kind of, they seem like very purely functional and not like heavily stateful. But I don't really have that much experience with it. So what's meant by using observables as an alternative? Maybe we can get more into those, like how you would construct a stream or something like that.
Well, I think the canonical RX example of something that's elegantly expressed in RX that would be really hard to do in just normal JavaScript if you weren't able to use observables is that type ahead search, where as you type characters into a text field, it's already beginning to hit the server and see what you might be searching for, so it can drive the state of some drop-down menu. That's probably the most popular example out there, because one of the things it demonstrates is that if you want to debounce, you want to allow for the user to stop typing for like 200 milliseconds before it actually hits the server, so that you don't overwhelm your server, then it's just add a dot debounce operator, and you've basically transformed a stream of keyboard events into that text field into something that only kicks off after it hasn't gotten an event for 200 milliseconds. And it's just, if you already had a sort of working prototype in vanilla JS and you had to debounce it, you've got to move a bunch of stuff around. You've got to extract something into a function. You've got to like deal with cancellation. But all those things are kind of pretty elegantly built into RX. And if you can just sort of train yourself to think in terms of streams of events, that kind of inspires you to think about where else you could apply that in your app. And I think a lot of people have felt that is sort of the like winning, most powerful abstraction that you could sort of think about. And that's kind of why things like CycleJS are a thing, or Redux Observable, or just anybody working with observables in like Netflix territory. I personally find it to be, as if you're going to express certain processes, RX is the way to go. But it has drawbacks, which is that it is really hard to learn. I mean, it took me a very long time, and I'm pretty good at it, but it is also just, if you're going to adopt RX as in your code base and then a new developer comes on, it's going to be a pretty long time. I mean, in my experience, sharing some of the RX code I've written with fellow very talented developer, it takes a really long time to explain how to sort of invert your thinking and think of things in terms of events. And if you can get to that point, you know, more power to you. But what I've found with Ember concurrency stuff is that you don't have to completely invert your thinking and think of everything in terms of events and streams of events. You can use this task primitive, which feels really pretty close to the code you're already writing, but gives you a lot of the safety guarantees and just makes it really easy to sort of use this like derived state to drive templates. So RX is a powerful paradigm, and sometimes you need that sort of event-driven push-based model. But I think when people wonder, why aren't you just using observables, they haven't really grasped how easy and familiar it is to use tasks and get it right on the first try and with a lot less code.
Right. You're able to leverage the fact that I understand what a JavaScript function looks like, and that the sequencing is implicit by just the order in which you enumerate the steps, right?
Right, because I was just thinking of it. I mean, that Rich Hickey of Clojure popularized the sort of divide between simple versus easy. And Simple Made Easy is one of his popular talks that everyone should probably...
Yeah, it's a great talk, yeah.
So do you see an area where observables could be used in conjunction with Ember concurrency?
It's been hard for me to find that use case where it's probably... There's a handful of use cases where maybe it's a little awkward to think about how something that would be elegantly handled in RX would be modeled using tasks, but it really hasn't struck me enough in some of the apps that I'm building to really try and flesh that out.
Yeah, it would be curious. It'd be curious to see just a set of just side by side comparisons. Like, what does I've built a lot of autocompletes using Ember concurrency. You know, I've built a lot of asynchronous processes using Ember concurrency. You know, what would that look like using nothing but Rx and just be able to, you know, have on the left hand side of the paper the Rx and on the right hand side of the paper EC.
I'd be very surprised if you could find a Rx example that is less code than the task equivalent. Because the first thing, like, as much as I think the autocomplete example is just like the best canonical example of Rx, it quickly, once you actually start making something that's production ready, you want to start driving the button state while it's running or to show a loading indicator. And when you start deriving other observables off of the source observable, which is the user typing into the text field, you start having to worry about, oh, I'm dealing with a cold observable. If I create another stream based on it, it might double subscribe and I might kick off two things. And I actually want to use a published.refcounted version of this stuff. And so, to actually get away from a sort of toy example into something that's actually production ready requires a lot of code. And just from my own conversations with the people working on Rx, you know, there's a lot of people that are like working on it that are pragmatic about it and don't think that you have to be just purist functional all the way. But when they actually ship production code, they usually resort to things like using like the do operator in with Rx observables, which is basically an escape hatch to let you do like mutations and side effects in what is supposed to be this like monadic functional thing. And it's just like, if the paradigm is kind of breaking that quickly to do production code, I'd wonder if maybe there isn't something better out there. So I just kind of keep that in mind. But I definitely think there should be a sort of like bake-off or comparison of how you do things in both the task paradigm and observable paradigm. But I think you'd find that just most cases, you just do a lot more with a task with a lot less code.
So I want to go back to the point you were about to make about simple made easy.
On the divide, Ember concurrency is very easy, and I still choose easy. I mean, I'm definitely in the case of Ember observable, I'm constantly choosing easy over simple, and I'm seem to constantly. It always helps me out because I've made that decision. So I think most people, sort of inspired by Rich Hickey from the Clojure community, would look at Ember concurrency and be like, it's a task that combines derived state and does like five different things. Seems kind of gross. Why aren't you just using observables? And the result of that, if you follow it through, is that you end up writing a bunch of observable code that is a mess and streams and going in different directions. And you've written something that's really hard to understand, even from another, even if it's just seasoned Rx developers looking at the code, it's just very easy to write things that are tangled.
It's always good to have simplicity, but you also, a system that's simple without ease, I think is far less useful because, like I said, it's always going to be a trade-off between simple and easy. But the problem is if your system is too simple, then it means that you're shouldering your kind of your day-to-day programming tasks are shouldering the complexity and you have this kind of emergent complexity that you just can't shake, right? Because your primitives are just too simple. You could be programming in assembly language or something like that. That's really simple.
Right.
You need to be able to construct simple primitives on top of simple primitives so that, you know, for your immediate need, you have something that is both simple and easy, if that's ever possible. I think that there, you know, certainly Ember concurrency is easy. And I think that it just means there's maybe work to do in trying to tease apart the different concerns. Because like you said, there are five. But in real complex systems, there are five bajillion. And so maybe teasing apart those individual concerns so that, you know, it is composed out of simple primitives. I'm sure you've thought about that a little bit of, you know, okay, how do I kind of separate this and make these tasks compose a little bit better and things like that.
This is sort of a nice segue because it might tie into some of the work that's going to be going into Ember concurrency in the next few months. So a big theme of EmberConf was actually, a lot of people were joking, it should just be called GlimmerConf because a lot of it was talking about how Glimmer is sort of going to be this composable sort of subset of Ember. Like Glimmer is going to be the rendering layer and then there might be a Glimmer router and a bunch of these Glimmer components that once you NPM install them, you get Ember. And so Glimmer is this sort of chance to think about Ember as a bunch of components working together under a really nice rendering layer. And there's definitely some interest in bringing Ember concurrency and thinking what is so-called Glimmer concurrency going to look like. And part of thinking about that is going to mean teasing apart some of these details as you were just saying. So I don't have a lot of specifics to give right now, just that there is a lot of interest in making sure that very early on there is some sort of Glimmer concurrency equivalent. And generally speaking, as part of even that process is the sort of question of how do we bring these magical Ember concurrency primitives to just Node or just vanilla JavaScript in general, so that perhaps you could use these kinds of tasks on a server and in other environments. And I think there's some questions of, you know, what does it mean the way that Ember concurrency bundles together derived state with the actual task runner? Are you actually going to use that derived state in a server setting? And so I think some of these pieces are going to have to come apart a little bit. I don't have very concrete ideas for how that's all going to look in the end, just that I have faith that it'll happen pretty easily. And the result of it is going to be something that fits pretty nicely into Glimmer as well.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, it certainly seems like one of the core issues, right? Because, you know, Glimmer concurrency really is going to be, it should be universal. So it should be some, well, and I don't want to prescribe, like, you know, your work for you.
I don't mind.
That wouldn't be cool. But it'd be, I mean, Glimmer just, it, you know, it's very stripped down, right? So you have just a very little bit on top of a raw JavaScript environment. So if you're going to go there, I mean, it makes sense, right? So what does this concurrent process builder look like using nothing but JavaScript? And it seems like one of the hardest problems is to disentangle it from Ember Object, because the way that it currently, you know, computes that derived state is very intertwined with Ember Object. And, you know the details of this more than I do, but it seems like that's one of the biggest challenges, is how do you communicate those changes in state without using that? And that's what I was thinking, you know, would be a good case for using observable for Ember concurrency, although not for probably the reason that people are thinking, which is for composition, for task composition and stuff. But yeah, I'm very curious.
Well, likely the first stab at that direction would probably be using something similar, if not exactly, these Glimmer reference primitives. Maybe it's worth talking about that. I mean, references are sort of one of the core primitives that's used by Glimmer, and it sort of represents a value that might change over time. And it's a value that can sort of be lazily gotten. So basically, whereas observables, you have something that's firing events every time something changes, and it kind of makes the whole pipeline process it right then and there. With references, when something changes, you sort of like just tell the world like something's dirty. And then at a later time, maybe when in like a request animation frame or some point where it actually makes sense to get these latest values, then it goes through, finds out everything that changes, does a single re-render. And what it means is that you don't have this sort of like observery code that's firing every time some value has changed. And it's one of the guiding abstractions in Glimmer that makes it possible for it to be so fast and performant. And so it is very likely that a vanilla version of what Ember concurrency does uses references, because those are already separate from like the Ember object model and actually are kind of used today in conjunction with Ember object model with the Glimmer that works with Ember today. So I think that's probably going to be a first step. Clearly the reference abstraction has worked wonders for Glimmer. I'd prefer to probably use that than I would, you know, observables and the push-based.
Observables or something else. That is really, really interesting, because it is, there's kind of nothing like that in reactive, like vanilla JavaScript programming these days. Right? Like kind of the equivalent of like a Haskell thunk, where you're just kind of passing these things around, but you're not actually using them until you actually want to pull a value. And at that point, you kick off the whole chain of computation required to get that one value that you need. But it immediately like brings to mind, and I know, I don't know if this is of concern to you, but you know, I was very, very enamored of Ember objects like back in the day in like 2012. I was like, wow, this is amazing. This solves every problem that I've had. It has been a great companion, and I've built some really great stuff on top of it. But now it's definitely turned into baggage. And I think it's baggage for kind of the libraries that I've written. And I think, you know, it's, we're talking about it in kind of in the context of it being baggage here and being, making it more available to the JavaScript community. And so I'm wondering, I worry a little bit about like Glimmer references. Would they possibly turn into something like that? And could you counteract that by maybe trying to evangelize them to the wider JavaScript community? Like, hey, here is a new reactive primitive. Let's kind of, you know, so that we don't end up in an eddy of the JavaScript community. Is there, do you think there's value in trying to say like, hey, you know what? There should be some sort of standard in the same way that, you know, observable, which is an emerging standard, is for kind of eager reactivity, have some sort of lazy reactivity standard, or maybe it's too early for that. That might be kind of a way of future-proofing or getting insurance for the future, so that it's, you know, you can say we can confidently build, you know, systems on top of this primitive.
I mean, if the worry is that something based on Glimmer references is going to sort of turn into the same baggage or tech debt or whatever that maybe Ember Object has turned into for some apps, for some applications, some libraries, I'm not sure. I guess I don't really see that happening. And I know that it's already gotten some validation from some of the people that have worked on Rx that it is, in fact, a very useful primitive for certain kinds of workloads. As much as evangelism certainly helps, I just think it's already off to a much better start than this, like, all-powerful God object that you can only interact with if you're using .get and .set functions, and it's very lightweight. And I think it also just fundamentally, there's sort of a tricky problem where what I'm trying to say here is that there's UI workloads and then there's like server-driven workloads, and using Rx for both cases means that Rx kind of suffers as a library, because in the UI workload, you kind of want something like references where you want to let a bunch of things change and then update stuff in one pass, and it's just like a tick later or later in the microtask queue. But in Rx, they kind of make you think about things in an event-driven way, which might make sense for servers and stream processing, but it's kind of ugly when you just want to actually build UIs with it. So I think if we kind of pay due respect to the fact those workloads are pretty different, I think the reference is way better of an abstraction for things that are UI-centric. They're simple and they're performant, and I think it's just off to a much better foot than the Ember object, which is just kind of bloated and huge and very hard to optimize.
Right. I like that, because you have to be precise with the server side things, but ironically with the references, you only care about the state at the point at which you observe it and when the user observes it, not when the code observes it, right? And the user observes stuff with every animation frame, and there can be any number of intermediate states that you can just throw away and you don't care about. You don't need to compute them, right? I think what you're saying is like Rx forces you to compute them.
Right. And you wouldn't use like a Glimmer reference for something like if you're trying to batch, but in the end, keep all of the events that were fired or all the change events. You wouldn't use references because you're losing all that information until you do that pull and you get the latest value. But 99% of the time when you're building UIs, that's what you want to use.
So are Glimmer references their own standalone library, or are they currently bundled with Glimmer?
I'm not sure. I believe they are. If they're not now, I believe the intention is for them to be their own sort of separate repo. I was talking to Chris Selden at EmberConf, and I got the impression that that's the intent. It might not be there now. And if I wanted to start extracting Ember concurrency stuff into vanilla JS, I'd probably want to use a reference-ish thing, if not the official one from Glimmer.
Okay. So I know we talked about this. So then how would using references, can you kind of go over again how you see like being able to use like these lazy references to compute task state, how that might work or play out?
Sure. The fundamental problem right now is that everything in Ember concurrency is so glued to the Ember object model. And what that means is that all Ember concurrency has to do to sort of like broadcast that a change has happened to the state of a certain task so that you can maybe put a loading spinner up on your template. All that it has to do is just use object.set and then the built-in computed property observer change detection that's in an Ember object model is going to sort of propagate those changes. But that's a bunch of heavy Ember stuff that's not going to exist in sort of a lighter weight Glimmer or vanilla JS context. So instead of using .sets and expecting that the thing you're setting it on is a, you know, this big heavy Ember object model, you could just use references, and then whoever wants to get a reference to whether a task is running or not, it gets a reference to an is running reference, and then just using the standard Glimmer abstractions, the Glimmer concurrency task runner would just basically kick those references, and anyone who has one of those references can sort of flush and get the latest value at some like later point in time, and then update the UI based on that. Already as a maintainer of Ember concurrency, I see how all the pieces work with that, and I could probably just start working on that today. But there's just a handful of other things that I want to sort of align with the sort of vision of Glimmer and Glimmer concurrency before I sort of start working on that.
So what would be the reference equivalent in just plain JavaScript outside of Glimmer that you would use to build this on top of?
like, what would the API look like if you're like, I don't have Glimmer, I don't have anything, I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, you just have plain JavaScript. So what would be your primitive that you will build this on top of?
So whether we use a sort of standalone Glimmer references library or this separate reference thing that I would use in the midterm based on something Chris Seldon said, in the end, the API is going to be pretty similar between those two. But if the one thing it sort of requires, as far as I understand it, is you've kind of got a setup where you, in an event loop, you respond to something that's changed, and then you schedule like a later request animation frame to actually do the rendering based on that. So in order to use something like references, it sort of implies that you've got to sort of like flush at a later tick or flush at a later callback. And if you've got that in whatever app you're working on, it should be pretty easy to figure out where references fit in.
I see. So you would basically say like, you know, tasks, you know, new task, give it your task class or whatever. And I'm just making stuff up. And then you would just schedule, you know, do a request animation frame and then just pull the task state or something like that, or new task reference or something like that.
Yeah, you might have some function that's like schedule render pass if not yet scheduled, right? And then if it hasn't been scheduled, it uses request animation frame. If you call that function again, it's going to no op until that request animation frame happened.
Wait, could you explain that again?
Sure. So if you were actually thinking of a really low level vanilla JavaScripty app in the browser or something, and you were just using references, then you'd probably have something where the thing that kicks off the reference or dirties the reference in some way also runs some function called like schedule re-render if one hasn't already been scheduled, or something less verbose. And that would just make sure that some request animation frame has been scheduled, and when it flushes, then it'll get all the changes. But if more references are dirtied in that meantime, it won't like schedule additional request animation frames. That's, I don't know, that's kind of blue skying, but that's one thing.
Right, right. Work. So, you know, here's the other thing is, would you see like being able to integrate it with a third party kind of state management solution like Redux, or something like, basically I've got my Ember concurrency tasks, but, and their state is then reflected inside of a Redux store. How might that work? If at all? Or is that like a crazy idea?
I don't know. I played around with sort of Redux toy examples, and the Redux community in Ember is only getting stronger by the day. I'm not entirely sure how all those pieces fit together, because in Redux, they really want you to propagate all of your state changes using the reducer in that single global atom. And even things like, there's a lot of people ask me about Redux sagas, which is another sort of generator function driven way of firing these state mutating actions over some async operation, and it's hugely popular, but I don't think they have any concept of the sort of derived state that I've been sort of trying to do with Ember concurrency, of like just being able to ask a task if it's running. Like, you can't just do that. You've got to reflect that into the global atom, the global store somehow. And to be honest, I don't really know if that's fundamentally at odds with the Redux model to take something like Ember or Glimmer concurrency and make it work that way. But ideally, you wouldn't have to just like forward all that state into the global atom. You'd just be able to reference that task object.
So if the task object itself is immutable, it would seem like fairly trivial. Like, you could generate programmatically the reducer required to do that, so that you would just, you know, you would just kind of, if you had the state encapsulated, you could just say, you could kind of like say, okay, now there's a new state here. It seems like you would be able to adapt that. So, but you would need to be able to react to any time that state changed to fire an action in the Redux store, or fire a Redux action.
I think actually this will be an easier question to answer, because I think a lot of the, like on the Ember community Slack, there's a Redux channel, and I know everyone there is already starting to talk about how our references, how's Glimmer going to, how can we kind of tie these things to Redux. And I think when they have some solutions lined up, a lot of the stuff that will be in so-called Glimmer concurrency will just fit in nicely. If they've got nice models for tying references to the state atom, if you will, then it's going to work with some of the new way.
Okay, cool. Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was a proposal that Lauren Tan, who put on to the Ember concurrency issues list, although it's an RFC. Are you accepting RFCs now for Ember concurrency?
Well, I'm not pompous enough to have a separate RFCs repo. The issue approach is perfectly humble for me.
But now, is this the first RFC, or is like, are there, have there been a bunch of Ember concurrency RFCs?
There's been a few. It's definitely great that Ember is so standardized on this like boilerplate RFC model that everyone can just kind of fit in, can fit their proposal into, because it means that all the add-ons that people really like and really want to invest in, they get these high quality RFCs versus like, hey man, it'd be kind of nice if you can just like have a pipeline. So it's just like, because Ember is sort of invested in that process, the whole add-on community benefits from it, and it's great. And there's been a few RFCs that are like that. I'm not sure how many of them have made it, but I've seen a few that are in that sort of format. But this one's definitely one of the nicer ones, and a lot of effort was put into it and looks really nice.
So I'm not familiar with the RFC. What's the brief overview of what was proposed?
Lauren was basically proposing we add a concept of pipelines, which is that if you have a series of tasks that are sort of a step in a pipeline of operations, then we should sort of standardize that and then define all the steps in the pipeline so that rather than having each step in the pipeline call the next step in the pipeline, they just sort of return some their portion of the work, and then the sort of pipeline infrastructure will automatically run the next step in that pipeline.
It seems like also then you can derive state about the entire pipeline rather than just, you know, the individual task. And you kind of have to manage that a little bit by hand. But the other thing I guess I would add is, it seems like if you're going to go with pipelines, you probably want them to be able, like, they, rather than being, you know, a simple list, they probably, you might want to think about them as being a tree. Cause like, you know, can you have pipelines that are composed of sub pipelines, so to speak?
Yeah, I believe the answer is yes. I mean, I'm not sure if it's spelled out in this RFC, but, really a pipeline is just, it kind of fits the task interface. So if there's a task-ish thing or taskable object that you declare as a step of a pipeline or a sub pipeline of a pipeline, it should just work. I'm not sure if there's more work that needs to be done in spelling that out, but that seems sort of baked into it. There's a lot of due consideration for making sure these things compose really well, and it's already in a really good state.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the use cases where you might want to use a pipeline? Like, I'm sure everyone who's been writing concurrent tasks, you know, has probably been kind of maintaining their own pipeline. So what is it that you're doing, and how is this going to, you know, kind of save you time and money?
Well, she used the example that I had actually used in EmberConf, which is something based on my own app, which is, in my app, you have to geolocate, find nearby stores that you can walk into. And it's that process is like four sort of async steps in a row. One is getting your geolocation coordinates, and then the next step is passing those to the store, getting values. And a third step is maybe some additional validation or just setting a timer so that your animations, whatever, like any of these like little async things that you have to do. But it's really a sequential operation where each time, you know, fetch the geolocation or get it out of a cache and then step to the next thing and the next thing. And it looks okay as I have it in my, you know, production app code, but it still feels a little gross that you can't just look at this thing and be like, what is the sequence of steps here? You have to actually get into the implementation of each task to see what happens next and where does it go after that. And it's, since pipelines, I think it's basically like with Ember concurrency in general, there's a lot of opportunities for finding more conventions for building apps, a lot of features. I don't even know if we really talked about this so far, but derived state is part of it. But generally speaking, before Ember concurrency, there wasn't as much opportunity, I guess, for some of these conventions for building these pretty standard UI flows without feeling like you were just building your own thing every single time with chains of promises and your own sort of improvised cancellation scheme and all these things. So I sort of see pipelines as the next step in like, well, we're building lots of pipelines in our apps. We have these processes that kind of go through these multiple steps. And right now, the best we can do is sort of like set a bunch of Boolean variables, and, you know, the derived state that comes with Ember concurrency helps. But with pipelines, there's even more, and it also structures your thinking so that if something like pipelines catches on, hopefully as an Ember developer, you'll see them in a few different places and already have that tool in mind for like how to visualize a problem, visualize a component, visualize some async flow.
I think my entire morning reading the talk that Lauren referenced in the RFC, which was the railway-oriented programming, which I think was probably basically a visual explanation of like maybe and like a of the maybe monad or the either monad or whatever it's called, and just how you can, just one of the greatest explanations of why monads are helpful, and through explanation using like the maybe, where you can have a computation that can have more than one result, either success or failure. And how do I take these functions and compose them with functions that might always succeed or might not have a return value or might not whatever, and kind of show the tracks that move through a computation and, you know, be able to kind of normalize every function to have the same number of tracks. And I realize I'm getting into the description of it without actually having the visuals in front of it. So I'm just going to stop myself and say, everybody go read it. It's just a fantastic, you know, it take you 35 minutes, but it just will illuminate so much of like the chatter that you just kind of been hearing in the background for a couple of years.
I always tell people that they should learn Rx because regardless of me liking the task primitive a little bit better, it's great. It just scrambles your brain and reorganizes your thought processes. And it's such a interesting library to learn.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go learn Rx.
I've been getting really into, on the server side, the sort of Kafka-based architecture, Apache Kafka. And particularly, they've released some libraries maybe in the last year or so for streaming and for building your own. It's a very Rx-familiar feeling library for composing new data and new aggregates and joins between different topics and streams of events. And it just seems like they're at the forefront of solving these really hard problems in a very conventional way. And you get into some of that stuff and you find you're doing a lot of server-side processing with stuff that just feels a lot like Rx. And I find that very interesting. I haven't actually built anything with it yet, but it is likely in my future. And anybody that's into this sort of event-driven model should definitely know what people are working on in the sort of Kafka streams world.
That is cool. And it's so interesting to see how they're really like, it's all, you know, all of the problems that you encounter on working on the server side, you will encounter on the client and vice versa. And so you can build up a huge corpus of knowledge on, you know, one side of the API divide. And you'd be surprised that if you were to go work on, you know, the other side for a time, you'll be able to, you know, leverage 99% of that knowledge. So that's fantastic. I would love to get into Kafka, but unfortunately, I think we're going to have to save that for another time. That's another one of those words like, I don't know. Is Kafka descended from Storm or something like that? Is it a similar concept? I remember everybody was big on Storm.
I think Storm is sort of the actual, it processes the events, decides what to do with them. Kafka is really just a giant storage that plugs into something, I think, like Storm or Samza or any of these things that actually process the events.
Yeah, it's all Kubernetes to me.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, with that, I think we'll wrap it up. Thank you so much, Alex, for coming to talk to us. It's always, always enlightening. I love your approach to programming. I love how deeply you think about problems and how humble you are in approaching them, because they are big.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on here. It's fun.
All right, everybody. Take care. Bye, Ulrich. Bye, Alex.